Fast Eddie here at EAA Radio, and with me from some 8,000 plus miles away, we have Jody Davis and Andrew McIntosh in the studio all the way from Australia. Welcome to America.
Thank you.
G'day, Fast Eddie.
Good day. What do you think of America so far?
Amazing. Very beautiful country.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate that. Someday we'll go down there and return the favor. So you're up here at Oshkosh. Why did you come up?
Oh, always wanted to come to Oshkosh, so it's been a bucket list activity. And I figured this year I'm turning 30, so why not make it this year?
There's no way you're 30.
Just about to turn 30.
All right. Well, stay young. What airplanes are you presently flying in Australia right now?
Mostly aerobatic machines. I'm in the Super Decathlon and just about to move into the Extra and the Pits.
Ooh, so you're thinking about getting into something a little more powerful.
Yeah, it's time to start stepping up in the competitions and working my way towards an airshow career.
Have you flown either one of these aircraft yet?
I have.
And where'd you do that?
Rather excitingly, last week I went up to King City in California and flew with the Two Teamer Academy, Sean D. Tucker's school, and I flew both the Extra and the Pits.
All right. Which one did you like better?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
Well, we talked about it earlier. You knew it was coming.
I still don't know the answer to that. I do like both.
What turned you on about the Pits?
Its ability to stay in the box is a big positive. I do like the torque on the S2B that I flew. Had quite a big propeller on it and quite a strong engine, which was really interesting for me to experience.
That's right. You're flying a Decathlon. You're, what, about 180 horsepower?
Yeah.
And the Pits is going to have significantly more.
Yeah.
What about the Extra? What did you like about that?
Mainly the handling characteristics. I really like some of the maneuvers that you're able to get out of it. Both of them are able to hover. There's quite a few maneuvers that I'm sort of drawing and trying out and trying to design new figures and things like that, which you obviously can't do with the power-to-weight ratio of a Decathlon, but things that I'd like to try out in the future once I can get into more powerful machines.
What got you started in aerobatics?
I'm not quite sure, but basically I was down at the airfield one day having my regular lessons and decided to get myself an aerobatic lesson. I didn't have a license or hadn't been solo yet. And when I went up for the lesson, I just knew that was it. That was what I wanted to do.
Are you planning on hitting the airshow circuit down in Australia once you get your high-performance plane?
Yes.
Ah. Any shows in particular?
Oshkosh has always been the dream, the big dream, and I think it is for any airshow pilot. When they used to do the Stars of Tomorrow program with Oshkosh, I'd always dreamed of being in that. It's unfortunate it's not going anymore, but I'm hoping that they'll do something similar at Avalon, which is the Australian International Airshow.
Sounds like great fun. Are there any major differences that you're aware of between an Australian airshow and an American airshow?
No major ones that I know of, but speaking with Melissa Pemberton when she was down at Avalon last year, there's quite a big difference in the way that CASA operates as the way that the FAA operates, not just in rules and regulations, but I think also in the paperwork that's involved. Australia was, I don't think, very keen to have the Breitling wing walkers in initially, but thank goodness that they got it over the line and it happened, and they were amazing to see in Australia.
Well, wing walker acts in this country are very popular, and they go over quite well. Everybody loves them. What was the problem that the Australian authorities had with it?
I'm not too sure of the details, but I do believe it came down to just safety implications and... Yeah, I can't honestly say because I don't know, but it was amazing to see, and the crowds absolutely loved it.
A wing walker is a fantastic act, that's for sure. So you're going to get yourself either a Pitts or, say, an Extra, and you want to hit the airshow circuit. Is there any particular maneuver that you really enjoy while you're flying one of these airplanes?
Oh, so many. When I went flying at Tutima Academy, I flew with Yuichi, the unlimited pilot, and he showed me a few new maneuvers. I quite like the torque roll and tail slides, so they're a lot of fun. I quite like tumbling, all of those things. Just, I think they look amazing in air shows.
Well, now you're not that experienced with these high-performance aircraft. Were you able to keep track of where the airplane was while you were doing some of these maneuvers?
Surprisingly, yes. I think doing a lot of spin training helps with that, with your situational awareness. And I have done a few competitions now. So all of the training that you do and actually flying in the competitions gives you that sort of situational and spatial awareness. Yeah, I didn't find it too difficult, which was a surprise to me.
So anyway, you got to fly the Extra and the Pitts S2B. What were the differences in the control feels and the harmonies of the aircraft? How did they compare to each other?
First, I flew the Pitts, and that was an amazing experience because it's the first time I've flown a Pitts, and they let me land it, which was great.
You landed a Pitts first time out?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I had a little bit of a hand.
Oh, okay.
But the difference in the controls was I was still using two hands, but I found the Pitts to be a lot lighter in the control deflections than the Decathlon, and not as much travel of the stick was required. It did fly a lot like a Decathlon in terms of the maneuvers, and the timing was the same. However, when you get it into a vertical such as a hammerhead, you really start to see that torque take over. The Extra, on the other hand, was completely different. It was very little input required, and which, you know, I found really great. But it was also very responsive, both with rudder and aileron. So I quite liked the Extra as well.
And between the two of them, you couldn't pick out a favorite, could you?
I can't. I'm just too much in love with aerobatics. I could fly anything aerobatics.
Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful experience out there. What is going to happen in your future?
When I get back to Australia, I'm going to start seeking out an aircraft to fly. It will most likely be an Extra, and start moving up the categories. I'm going to start getting some regular coaching, which would be good. Good for my development, and then start looking into sort of more regular coaching and start working my way up the aerobatic food chain, as you would, with the different levels. And then from there, once I get into either advanced or unlimited, then I'll be able to start looking at air shows.
You know, there's a good question. In this country, we have levels for air show pilots. When you first start out, there's like an 800-foot hard deck, and then you work yourself down to a zero-level waiver. The question is, does Australia have the same thing?
Our aerobatic rules are quite different. In Australia, when you get an aerobatic endorsement, which you do have to go and train for and be endorsed on, you are able to do aerobatics above 3,000 feet. So it's not quite as low as America. Then you can step down to a low-level waiver of 1,500 feet. And then from there down to 1,000, down to 500, and, you know, down to the deck pretty much.
Well, you have a lot of work ahead of you. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I'm up to the challenge.
Now, what do you do in your regular day job?
Mostly marketing and business development.
Okay, so you're not a professional pilot by trade then?
No.
So you're just somebody in love with aviation who wants to move up and really get thrilled.
Yes.
That sounds like great fun. And you're going to be posting videos on YouTube, I hope?
Yes, yeah. I do a lot on Facebook at the moment and Instagram. But other than that, I haven't really gotten into the YouTube videos yet.
Well, obviously somebody's going to work on it. I know one of the things I'd recommend is to get a Hero Pro Cam and put it in your airplane in any number of places. I'm sure you've seen the videos. Be interesting to watch you fly someday.
Yeah, start getting that training happening, and then people can see the development.
How long do you think it's going to take before you hit the air show circuit? Any idea?
if I can come back to America more often, where it's a lot cheaper to fly, then it'll happen a lot faster. But in Australia, you hold down sort of up to four jobs just to get through your aerobatic and pilot training. So it will happen a lot slower in Australia just due to money.
Well, here's an interesting question. The cost of fuel. What is it down in Australia?
Oh, varies a fair bit. It's by the litre, not... what do you guys measure in?
We use gallons.
Gallons, yeah.
And right now, we're hovering between like $5 and $6 a gallon, although some places are a little more. And I have no idea how that converts to litres at all.
Yeah, so it's about $2.20 a litre, and there's 4 litres in a gallon. So what's that? We're looking at $8.80 a gallon that we're paying for over in Australia, and that's the average price. And if you go country, you're going to pay a lot more than that. So it's fairly expensive. Fairly expensive.
If you're in the middle of Australia, it's about $3.50 per litre.
Wow. And we thought it was expensive over here. Yeah, you better come over here and get a 6-month visa and go fly till it hurts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we enjoy visiting aerobatic students and everything. So come on over. You know, just tell them Fast Eddie sent you.
Well, there's a lot more machines over here to fly as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't have any problems falling into an aerobatic ride of any kind. That usually is not too big an issue around here. We have a lot of people that have aerobatic airplanes of all time, of all kinds, rather. Have you looked at the Pitts Model 12 up there at IAC by any chance?
I have. It's a beauty.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
That thing is a monster. And I've seen people fly it, and it's just got fantastic performance. You think that S2B is good. Where do you get a Model 12?
Yeah.
And Curtis Pitts, before he passed away, was working on a Model 14, which is supposed to be even better. I have no idea the status on that. But if you stumbled across a Model 12, would you take it?
Is that a trick question?
Absolutely a trick question.
I would, yeah, anything that's aerobatic, I would love to get my hands on and wrap my head around it. And
well, you know, there are other aerobatic airplanes out there. Have you looked at, say, the Zivco Edge 540 by any chance?
Oh, I love the Edges. I'm really keen to see Bill Stein fly his.
Well, you won't be disappointed, that's for sure. It's a wild airplane. I believe Kirby Chambliss flies one, too.
Yes.
And he really cranks that airplane up.
Yeah.
The videos of him are just incredible. That is a man that cannot be narrated to. And I'm sure you're looking forward to that kind of wild action too, right?
Oh, I am, definitely. I've already seen 3 Edges since I got into America. And I think in Australia we only have 2 of them in the whole country. So it's really great to see so many of them.
You're going to have to make some serious contacts down there if you want to get a flight in that Edge.
Yeah.
That's for sure, with only 2 of them in the country?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have a fun time, that's for sure. Well, we're talking with Jody Davis and Andrew McIntosh, flew all the way up from Australia, and yes, their arms are tired. I'm Fast Eddie. This is EAA Radio.